Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces as far division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So as we look in your written word, Lord, may we encounter the living word. Amen. The Lord just kind of had me in this couple of scriptures today, starting here in the first couple of verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. You notice here, it doesn't say lay aside sins. It says lay aside the sin which so easily entangled us. And this word encumbrance is just a word of meaning oppression or heavy load. So in other words, lay aside this heavy load or this burden and the sin which so easily entangles us. And that word entangles is, it's a word, it comes from three different Greek words of well, all around, and to stand. Like well, well planted, all around, standing, right? So if you get this kind of idea, as you're stuck or you stop somewhere, and all around you are these vines, or this kudzu. You know what kudzu is, right? That's everywhere down here. You're standing in kudzu, okay? This encumbrance and the sin. Well, the sin I believe Paul is talking about here, he just finished this great chapter 11, on faith, right? Hebrews 3 and 4, he spent time talking about the sin of unbelief, that they were not able to enter the promised land because of their unbelief, right? So I believe this is what it's talking about here, is the sin that so easily entangles us is the sin of unbelief. Because unbelief just keeps us from experiencing all that God has for us, right? Everything that's ours in Christ is unbelief. And it can tangle us real good. So laying that aside, this burden, which I believe it causes great burden, this unbelief, it just causes a weight on you, right? I know it does in my life. If I'm dealing with something or I've allowed something that's just causing an oppression, that word's also the word for oppression, just causing my emotions to be oppressed, okay, then we gotta do a little digging here and find out what it is. And usually most of the time it's just unbelief. You know, Deuteronomy 1:32, in this thing you're not trusting the Lord your God, right? And run with endurance the race that it's set before us. You know, Scripture talks about running the race, walking in the Spirit, right? And you think about, if you've ever been in kind of kudzu, I was doing something and there are these little, I know we have them down in the South, I don't know where else, but there's these, we called them stickers in there. They got these little stickers that stick in the bottom of your feet. I didn't like to go barefooted when I was little. All my friends did, went to school, all my friends were, you know, had bare feet. It just drove me crazy. I cannot stand for my feet to be dirty. So I had to wear socks and shoes. I tried it so many times, tried to be cool. I don't even like wearing, David wears sandals all the time. I can't do that because I can't stand for my feet to get dirty at all. So anyway, absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But the way to get through stickers is to run, right? Had them in our yard. The few times that I went barefoot, I would get them. But the way to keep them from getting in your feet is to take off and just run through the yard. You know, they just would not get on there. It's amazing, right? You think about this, what this, the sin of unbelief does, it makes us stop in our run or our walk, right? And as we stop, we get more greatly burdened. It becomes heavy on us, right? We're carrying something we were never meant to carry. And it tells us in 2, verse 2 here, looking to, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Again, and who for the joy set before him endured the cross, which you and I are the joy, right? Rejecting the shame, despising the shame, and he sat down at the throne of God. You know, have that underlined there, despising the shame, because Jesus really hates shame, right? He rejected the shame because we know that he was crucified without any clothes, and so he just rejected shame. He hates it. So he doesn't like for us to carry any kind of shame. But this is what we're going to talk about, and there's just this unbelief. He's an author, and that word author, it's a okay, good word, but it's actually the word like a founder or leader, the original founder of something who is continually leading. Not just someone who founded a movement, but someone who not only found it, but he's continually leading it. And that word perfecter is the word consummator. And I like that word because, you know, it means to bring something to completion in our lives. But also gives the same sense of that comes through something that's very intimate, right, in our relationship with the Lord. And you'll see where I'm going with this in a second. In Mark chapter 11, the story when, you know, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He leaves there, left Bethany. He's hungry. He sees this fig tree in the distance, you know, goes over to it. The fig tree has no figs on it because it says it's out of season, and he rebukes it. You ever know about that? That was just so unfair to that tree, you know? Going to a tree and it has no fruit, and Jesus rebukes the thing, you know, because it bears no fruit. And then they go back to Jerusalem, then come back by the next day, and, you know, the tree is withered up, okay? And we know that he was trying to teach them something. And then he says the first thing he says to them, the way I have it written in this New American Standard is, have faith in God. But actually, the way that's written is, have faith from God, or have faith of God. And he goes on, whoever says to the mountains, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt, of course, and believes what he says, it's going to happen. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you ask, believe that you receive them, right? So I think you have a really good picture of that fig tree telling them that apart from God, you have no faith, right? That's what our faith looks like. We're to have the faith of God, from God, that he gives as a gift in Christ, right? In Romans chapter 12, it's one of my favorite places on this subject, Paul says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as having sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith, right? He has portioned out. So the question is, how much faith were you given, right? Did you only receive a quarter faith, right? Did you receive half faith, or did you receive all faith, right? We didn't get the Father and the Son and not the Holy Spirit, right? Or the Holy Spirit and the Son and not the Father. We got the whole package, right? We know that. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the fullness of Godhead dwells in bodily form, and in him we've been made complete. So God has allotted to each person, to make you feel good, a measure of faith, his faith. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly, if prophecy in accordance with his faith. But actually, where that word is written there, by the grace given to us, in agreement with faith, come into agreement with faith. And you can prophesy. In prophecy, come into agreement with the faith, right? If it's a service, come into agreement with the service. If it's teaching, come into agreement with the faith that you have as a gift. See, we say that a lot around here. We are in union with the life of Christ, every part of it, right? And we are in union with his faith. So when I find myself really struggling to believe, or I found myself, you know, in the last recent days, really just stopping in the midst of all these stickers and vines, and it became real heavy, you know, because I was trying to figure out how to do something, and I was given into just these fearful thoughts of, you know, which is always a belief in the worst case scenario, crashing and burning, right? And you know, different things going on in our home. Our air conditioner went totally out, you know, got to replace that thing. So just in the midst of this, I found my soul being burdened. I was like, oh, well, what's the deal, Lord? What have I, you know? And when he led me here, I knew it. The sin of unbelief, right? I love this one in Hebrews 11. My favorite one out of all these people who believed. In verse 11, it says this. By faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She received the ability to conceive, right? So faith, right? This faith is an ability by grace I receive from God, from him, right? So he don't want to be carrying this. And I've always wondered why he uses that same thing. Why in all of this would you use despising the shame? Because unbelief can bring that sometimes. You just start beating yourself up because you should have had more faith. You should have trusted more, right? When the Lord is just saying, why don't you receive it as a gift? I believe. You know, we hear bishops say that all the time. The Lord's saying to him, I have faith for it. You know, I trust. So what I'm going through, Jesus has all faith for it, right? I just got to receive it. I got to come into union with this. You know what? Because I've been the fig tree. I'm drying up, man. You know? Because I'm not supposed to produce that, right? That's all I can do apart from him. Have the faith of God. Have the faith from God. Be like Sarah. An impossible thing, yet she received the ability to conceive the promise, right? So, I'm still chewing on this one. And I'm letting the Lord just kind of give me revelation in my spirit about this. You know? Okay, I want to, amen.